Good morning. We want to welcome you today to the Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren for our worship service this morning. Now, whether you're here in person in the sanctuary or in the Sunday school classrooms where you can be there without wearing masks, or if you're in your car in the drive-in experience, we pray that you will take the time to put away the distractions this past week and to get focused on Jesus. In Psalm 122, in the first verse, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Isn't it great to be at the house of the Lord? It is, because there is something inspirational, divine, that comes from being in the presence of God. So we pray that today during this service, whether you're here in the sanctuary, in Sunday school rooms, or in your car, that during this service you will experience the powerful presence of God in a very special way today. Again, I want to say welcome. Well, brothers and sisters, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. That is the hope for our future. How can we face our future? That is, with our faith in Jesus Christ. Because He holds the future. He is our hope. He is our help. In this message this morning, we are constantly bombarded with advertising messages. It's everywhere. It's on our phones. It's on our computers. It's when we're watching TV, it's when we drive on the highway, the roadside billboards, you name it. Wherever it is, probably there's an ad on it somewhere. We're inundated with a flood of extravagant claims of these advertisements as we open our phones or watch TV. We hear things like this. If you buy this, it's going to be miraculous. It's revolutionary. It'll change your life. It'll say, this is the greatest thing ever. The message just leaps out at us. The product assures us that they are new and improved and fantastic and capable of changing our lives. For only a few dollars, we can have cleaner clothes, whiter teeth, glamorous hair, tastier food, automobiles and iPhones and perfume and diet drinks and mouthwash are guaranteed to bring happiness, guaranteed to bring us friends, guaranteed to bring us the good life if we would just purchase these things that they're advertising. But talk is cheap. And too often we soon realized that what they were promising us didn't happen. It was hollow. And it was quite far from fulfilling the claims that they made. And it was quite far from the truth. You know, even as Christians, we make great claims. We say Jesus is the answer. We say God is here among us. We say the Lord can heal you. And our Christian claims are often guilty of being devoid of our actions. Professing to trust God and to be His people, we cling tightly to the world and its values and what it promises and what it says would make us happy. For example, the lottery this past week was $1 billion. And there were many Christians who spent millions of dollars buying tickets. But they claim that they, as Christians, have a belief in God, that God is going to take care of them. And forgetting that the Bible tells them not to do that, that gambling is a denying that they trust God will take care of them. Professing all the right answers as Christians, we contradict the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ by the way that we live and the decisions we make and what we do. Shame on us. Life is full of decisions, and life is basically a series of choices that we make every day. And the quality of your life will be determined by the kinds of decisions you make in life. Now, some of your decisions you will regret, and some of your decisions you will feel good about. There was a young businessman. He went to an executive one day and he asked for this executive's wisdom. And he said, "What is the secret of business success?" And the man said, "Making wise decisions." And so the man said, "Well, how can I learn to make wise decisions?" And the executive said, "By experience." And so the man said, "Well, how do you get experience?" And the executive said, "By making dumb decisions." That is how you learn. But the prayer is that you grow from your experiences. That you grow from what God teaches you. Often the Bible says that God is testing you. A test is to see what will you do with what God gives you and how will you use your faith. The fact is, because we are humans, we all have a great possibility for error. We wait too long when we should act. We pay too much for the wrong things. We say the wrong things when we should be speaking through the love of God. Some of you are facing difficult decisions this very day. Today, some of you are facing some decisions that you need godly wisdom. And some of you don't know it yet, but you're going to have a major decision to make tomorrow. And you're going to need God's wisdom. Life is full of choices. And when you make those decisions, will you be happy with your decision? Will you be faithful with your decision? Or will you regret it? James talks about how to make decisions. How do you make up your mind? He gives us three ways that we look at how to make decisions. He says, well, here's the thing you got to look at, the step. You've got problems, and then there's going to be, James says in his book, what he's teaching, he's going to tell you what the problems are. Then he's going to tell you what the prescription will be for those problems. And then he's going to tell you how the promise of God is going to help you to make the right decision and get through this. So here we go. James says there's three steps that you need to look at about making decisions. The first one is the problem of indecision. In other words, in verse 8, we read in our scripture lesson, it said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In the Greek, the word double-minded literally means two-souled. In other words, it's pulled apart in different directions. In other words, double-minded means that you're being stretched one side to the other side when you're trying to do two things at the same time. You're not really sure what you want. Double-mindedness is devastating. It's debilitating. It makes you unstable. So the word that is translated often in the Bible is confused when it talks about double-minded, that a person is confused. It's used to describe, it's like a drunk who's staggering to walk down a straight path, and he's reeling and he's unstable in his ways. In other words, that's what the Greek is saying, the scripture is saying that is double-minded. You're going in two different directions at the same time. Okay. The first problem of indecision about being unstable, there's three things that you look at why you're unstable. The first one is your emotion. There's unstable emotion. It's a strain when you can't decide. You worry. and you're confused. You can't sleep, you can't eat. You wonder, did I do the right thing? Will I do the right thing? What is the right thing? It creates emotional instability in your life when you can't make up your mind, when you don't know what the truth is, and when you don't know what God would say that you should do. Emotionally, you're unstable. And so that's the cause of indecision. Here's the second thing. Indecision causes unstable relationships. When you have a lack of commitment, it destroys a marriage. When you can't decide, do I want in or do I want out? Will I do what I should to sacrifice, or will I not sacrifice? What am I going to do? Indecision causes instability in relationship. It causes instability on the job when you're switching back and forth from what the boss is telling you to do and what you want to do, and it creates all kind of problems. We give double messages to our spouses and to our bosses when there is a certain line that we should be following, but we're making our own decisions to do what we want to do. Those kind of relationships become unstable when we are indecisive. Here's the third thing. Indecision causes unstable spiritual life. In verse 7, it says, that person will not think that they'll receive anything from the Lord. In other words, you're supposed to ask, but a double-minded person won't think that God's going to give them anything anyway. You see, it blocks our prayers. Indecision keeps God from giving, and it keeps you from receiving what God has to offer. Double-mindedness can lead to a double life. That's when you want to do your will and do God's will at the same time, but they're incompatible. When you know what's right, but you choose your way over what you know is right, over what God says do, even if it's wrong in your decision. Double-mindedness produces a double life, a spiritually harmful life, an unstable life. So you see, that's the first thing that James is talking about, is that there's a problem in the indecision. And that indecision causes emotionally, relationally, and spiritual problems. So what's the solution? Well, this is the second part of the prescription, is to get wisdom. The prescription to overcome the problem of indecision is to get wisdom. And so James says, get wisdom in verse 5 in our scripture reading. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You see, James gives three practical steps to get wisdom. You have to do an admission, you have to ask, make a request, and you have to anticipate what God is going to do. So the first thing that you do, and the practical step to get wisdom, is to admit your need. In verse 5 it says, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, is there anyone here today that knows it all? Now, I'm glad my wife's not here today, because she would point and she says, you think you do. We all lack wisdom. It's universal. Wisdom is different from knowledge. Wisdom is knowledge that's put into practice. Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. Wisdom is making decisions the way God would make decisions. And God's ways are different from man's ways. And God's purposes are different from man's purposes. We need wisdom. And we need to admit that we need wisdom. So the first thing that James says to overcome the solution of the indecision is that we need to admit that we don't know it all and we need help. We need God's help. And here's the second thing. We need to not only admit that we need wisdom, we need to ask for it. In verse 5 again, it says, if any man lacks wisdom, he should ask God. How do you get wisdom? Do you go on TV and listen to Dr. Phil? Or do you go on to social media and to do networking on Facebook or YouTube videos to find wisdom? Or do you do it by watching TV news? Or do you find some medication, ask your doctor to give you some smart pills? No. You don't get wisdom those ways. You ask by praying to God. The Bible says you get wisdom by asking God. And we need to say, God, I want to see things from your point of view. I don't want to make the mistakes that I've made in my life. I want wisdom. The reason we don't have wisdom, Bible says, and James says, is that we don't ask. James, and if we were to advance over to the fourth chapter of the book of James, in the second verse, you would find out it says there, you have not because you ask not. 20 times in the New Testament, it says ask, and it will be given to you by God. We need wisdom. We need to admit that we need wisdom, but we need to ask God for it in order to get it. And here's the third thing in the steps of getting wisdom. We need to anticipate it. Except an answer is in faith, it says in verses 5 and 6, it says, when you pray, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asked, he must believe that God is going to give it to him, and he must not doubt that God wants to give it to him. You know, if you want wisdom, first you've got to admit it, that you need it. Next, you have to ask the right person. You have to ask God. And then you've got to ask the right way. You have to have faith. You have to believe. You can't go to God in doubt. And this means that the key to wisdom is humility. And the door to wisdom is prayer. And the condition is faith. Doubt hinders God from working in your life. You remember the man came to Jesus and he said, Lord, I need your healing. And Jesus said, well, don't doubt. He said, well, Lord, help my doubt. Help me not to have doubt. And that's what we need to do. We do have doubts, and we need to have confessed that to God. You remember the story I was telling Armin this morning, that Peter, when he was in the boat that day, and the storm came up, and the boat was rocking, and the waves were splashing, and the wind was blowing, and Peter said to Jesus, when he saw him walking on the water, he said, Lord, if that's you, let me walk on the water too. And Jesus said, okay, come on. And so Peter gets out of the boat, and that's the first thing. When you see yourself facing difficulties, you have to also realize that you need to believe that God is able to do things that you're asking and that you're wanting, that you're needing. In other words, you got to get out of the boat. Peter would have never been able to know whether he could walk on water unless he got out of the boat. If you're facing a difficult decision, you'll never know whether you're going to be able to overcome this obstacle unless you make the decision to come to God. You see, Peter was stepping out to go to Jesus. And Jesus was saying, come to me. But while he was there, he began to look around and he saw the waves splashing and he said, oh no, I don't think I can do this. And so he started to sink. But when he looked back to Jesus and he said, Jesus, you have the power. You can walk on water. And then he was stable. But when he looked at himself and he saw the wind around him and he saw, how am I going to ever overcome this? Then he would begin to sink. So anytime that you are taking your eyes off of Jesus, who has the power and the ability to give you what you need, and you start putting it on yourself and start asking, how am I going to do it? How am I going to overcome? That's when you sink. And you will sink. You've got to keep your eyes on the Lord. The moment you get your eyes off the Lord, in any situation, and you look at your circumstances and you say, I can't do this, you're going down. Because you can't do it. It's only by God's grace and God's power and God's strength and God's Spirit that you do what you do anyway. God graces you with that. Some of you may face a major problem this week, and you're going to have to make a decision. Get your eyes on the Lord when you're trying to focus on those decisions. If you place your eyes on the problem, you will sink. You must believe God is able and not have doubt. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. If you want to receive anything from God, you've got to believe that He wills it. He wants it. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. But that's what we call faith, is believing that God will do it. All right, here's the last thing I wanted to share with you in this message this morning, and that is the promise is to know that God will give what He says He will give. That God will do what He says He will do. In verse 5 it says, if any man lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. God wants to give you wisdom. He's eager to give you wisdom. It pleases God when we come to Him and ask for His help. You need to ask God. It is God's nature to give. God is a giving God. God loves to give. God wants to give. Whatever you're going through, whatever decisions you're facing, God wants to help you with those decisions. Because we are instructed to be like God. To be like God, we need to become giving people. God wants us to give continually to all those in need, generously. God wants us to give cheerfully. That's what giving is all about. He says, you give because I give. Of all the areas that James could have used and given as an example of giving, he chose money. Why? Because most people make unwise decisions and foolish choices regarding their finances. Then Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And I think James knew that people have problems with their finances. They hoard that. They grasp that. They look at that as theirs. It's not something to be shared. It's not something even that they may have even thought was a gift given to them. Most people make unwise decisions about finances, and probably most unwise in the world is about money. More people are double-minded and unstable when it comes to dollars than any other area, James seems to be saying. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You can't love God and love money at the same time. Now that is a strange teaching. Why did Jesus say that? You can't do that. You can't love God and love money at the same time, Jesus said. We have to make a decision. Have we made up our minds what we're going to use our money for? Is it God's? And we do what God says do with it. Do we save some of it? Do we spend some of it? Do we give some of it to the church in tithing? Do we give some to the poor and those in need? What do we do with those kind of questions and decisions? God's wisdom is found in God's Word. And if I want wisdom, I've got to get into His Word. You see, God's wisdom is there, and if I want His wisdom, that's where I'm going to find it. I've got to be in it. And the Bible says in Psalms 119, 105, it says, God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, God's Word shows the way in the darkness. It shows the way when I can't see which direction I should go. God wants you to take life one day at a time. And His Word is to take you one step at a time. He lights the path with His Word. He says, I'll give you wisdom for the next step after you've taken the first step in my Word. As you take that step in faith, then God illuminates the path. Then you know what the next step is. That's why you've got to pray in faith, not doubting, but believing that God is the one that's going to guide you along your journey. All right, brothers and sisters, what is James saying? He's saying the quality of your life is determined by the decisions and choices you make, and the wisdom that is behind those decisions and choices. James is saying that when we do not trust God, it produces a lifestyle of instability in our lives. The cause of all the frustrations in my life is not my indecisions over my job or over my marriage or about my health. Although those things are important, and they're things that I do have to consider, there is a deeper issue, and that is my inability to trust God and to lay it all in His hands and ask God for His wisdom. Where are you double-minded this morning? Where have you been wavering and trying to live two different ways? Trying to live for the Lord on Sunday and then downplaying it during the week. That produces instability. I want to talk to you about life's greatest decision as I close today. The greatest decision you'll ever make in life is this. Who's going to be number one in your life? Are you going to be number one in your life? Is your job going to be number one in your life? Is your family going to be number one in your life? Is money going to be number one in your life? There is only one thing that will produce stability in your life, and that's when God is number one in your life. No man can serve two masters. And Jesus said, you'll hate the one and you'll love the other. The most important decision you can ever make is to make Jesus Christ number one in your life. Lord, will you guide my life with your wisdom this morning in the decision that I have to make? The smartest decision you'll ever make is to put Jesus Christ number one in your life and do it today and do it now. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we need your wisdom this morning. May each one of us admit that we have made choices in the past without consulting you, and they have caused us to make some bad decision. It's caused us to sin. And we ask you to forgive us, Lord, and help us to put them behind us in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And help us today to look to the future. Jesus, come into my life. Give me guidance. I want to live for you and be the person you want me to be. I want you to come into my life and save me from bad decisions. Lord, I want this day to be the day I'm making the big decision of who's going to be in control of my life. Lord, I give my heart up to you now. Fill me with your joy and your peace and wisdom and purpose. Lord, help us as a church here at the Boone's Mill Church to help people grow every day and hear the good news of Jesus Christ and his love and his transforming power. Oh God, protect us from the bad decisions that the devil will try to get us to make. Help us to grow strong and to be true and humble. Lord, your wisdom comes through your word. Help us to be reading through the Bible on a regular basis so we can have the wisdom that comes from your word. Oh God, open our eyes now. Open our eyes, Lord. For we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.